All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, welcome to Dockside at the Bay. We're just getting the live feed up and running up over at youtube.com/@sudsandthesquaredcircle. So we're going to go here, get this taken care of. Copy, go here and paste, and we are good to go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dockside at the Bay, brought to you by Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. This is Kim. And yes, I did vote today. Today is primary day for the presidential primary for Connecticut. So I went out and made my vote out. As always, I do want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for listening on the podcast feed, if that's what you're doing. And happy belated Easter to everybody. Kim, how was your Easter?
Easter was lovely. I got to spend it with my friend, good friend of mine, and her family. And fortunately, I had to watch my Blue Devils get eliminated from the tournament. But luckily, we had some margaritas. We had some Easter margaritas that kind of made the loss a little bit easier to bear.
Well,
So,
that's good.
but yeah, no, lovely, lovely holiday. And then kind of came back from that and got a chance to binge two episodes of The Bay.
Yes, two episodes. That's
That
our
was
plan going forward. We are going to be covering two episodes of The Bay now that we're into the actual Bay series that you can find in more places than The Bay the Beginning. You can find it on Tubi TV and Amazon Prime, but you also find it on Peacock. You can find it on Popstar. And so there's a lot more coverage of The Bay as opposed to The Bay the Beginning, but it does provide a great foundation to The Bay. When you go through the bay, the beginning, talk about tongue-tied. But so we're going to get into season one, episodes one and two on this episode. But before we do, as always, I want to let everybody know that we are an official affiliate for WWE Shops. So go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That gives the affiliate code. Order what you want. We do get a commission off of that. Quick programming note, I do want to thank Angela Ryan Duncan for jumping in and co-hosting last night's Suds News with me. Christy was at the Chicago Bulls game last night, so she couldn't make it, but we had Angela, Professor Angela, join in, and she's actually going to be a part of the Sudsy Awards in the summer as well as a presenter. So we're getting a lot more presenters this year than we had last year for the Sudsy Awards coming up. And though just keep your eyes on our Twix feed because you'll get all the information that you need to know coming in the coming months. Also, there will be no shows next Monday or Tuesday due to WrestleMania being this weekend, and I will be in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. Monday night, I will be at Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, I'm driving back from Philly, so we're gonna just not do any shows next week. We will return on Monday the 15th of April and Tuesday the 16th of April, just for both shows. Just keep that in mind. And so that's about it for church announcements and all of the programming notes that we have. Quick update on #SoapSudsMarchMadness. We are in the final four. So not only did Kim have Duke go out in the NCAA men's tournament, but early on, Kayla Johnson was eliminated by John
My
Black.
bracelets just broke my heart all around, you know, the
Yeah,
tough
I
year.
know, unfortunately. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the chat. Happy Tuesday to you as well. And John Black actually is now the Day's champion and is in the final four up against Laura Collins from General Hospital. Talk about icon versus icon,
Yeah, quite a competition there.
akin to Hulk Hogan and The Rock at WrestleMania 18 in Toronto. That poll is up. You still have about 3 days to vote on that match, and that's Right now the John Black fandom has come out in force, so John Black is currently winning. And in the other side, on the Y&R champion, Devon Hamilton, who is portrayed by Brighton James, is the Y&R champion. He's currently taking on the champion from the Bay, Sophia Madison, portrayed by the late great Jackie Zeman, and she's currently ahead in that poll. And you have 3 more days to vote. The championship match, the championship poll will go up on Friday, the 5th of April, and you have 7 days to vote on that as well. And then we'll have our inaugural Soap Suds March Madness champion. So overall, it's been great.
Yeah, no, it's been a fun competition and, cool tradition to kind of start up.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just fun. It got a lot of engagement. I think I also upset some of the Trina, the Sprina fans on Twix earlier today, due to the fact that I had to let everybody know that Nicholas Alexander Chavez will not be returning to General Hospital as once thought, and he's not welcome back. Whatever happened behind the scenes, Angela and I spoke about it last night on Suds News, but when he left to film, when he left in December to go film the Netflix series that he's on, he said his goodbyes. He cleaned out his dressing room, and apparently it was just so bad that the higher ups didn't even offer to bring him back and as a new contract.
Wow.
So so I had to upset the fandom there, and did have a couple people DM me about it, and I did let them know, that that's what I get from a reliable source. So,
Yeah.
anyways,
Yeah. Little
good.
soap opera kind of drama spilling out over into some, well, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. But you know what? He's a great talent. We knew
Oh
that he wasn't
yeah.
going to be
Yeah, no,
involved.
he's going places for
Yeah.
sure.
He's going to be, what he's filming right now is the Netflix season two of the Netflix series Monster, which focuses on the Menendez brothers. That whole situation, he plays one of the Menendez boys. And although it's funny because the Menendez brothers, their story has actually kind of come back into light recently, saying that they didn't just kill their parents in cold blood, they were being apparently sexually assaulted by the father, and the mother was just letting it on. So there's more to that story even now, 30 years later.
All the true crime people, they dig in and then more stuff gets uncovered and
Yeah.
yeah, wow.
So we'll see how that is, how that happens. But either way, that's what he's off doing now, and who knows when that's going to be released. But we do wish him well in his future
Oh,
endeavors.
absolutely. Yeah, it's cool to see his career kind of skyrocket like that and take off and knowing he got to start on a soap or at least stuck his claim there. That's pretty cool.
But what you're here to listen to is the Bay, which we did watch episodes one and two, and that's what we're going to be going over this week. And you know what? I like how the first two episodes actually start with a therapy session.
Yeah, I liked that as well. It's a really good way for them to just kind of ease into the whole, you get the exposition kind of out of the way by doing that. You just kind of, catching people up who haven't really, who maybe didn't catch me at the beginning, but setting the tone right away that, yeah, these people are living some pretty dramatic, screwed up existences. At least they're trying to talk to people about it, though. At least they're trying to put their issues out there.
Exactly. So, the first episode we see Sarah at a therapist session, and the biggest question is, why is she married to Steve Jensen?
Yeah,
For
the
30
doctor's
years.
very curious about that, and she gets very guarded, but you can tell that it's just, it's obviously not, the marriage is not per her choice, but she has a secret that, God forbid that that get out, and she is just determined to keep that hidden no matter what, even if it means marrying the man that is revealed to be her rapist who served time for his crime, and
And
that whole.
happens to be the father of Brian,
Yes.
who is also in prison, we find out, for 3 years. So there's a 3 year time gap between
Yes.
where the Bay of the Beginning ends and where the Bay starts.
And great way for them to just kind of, establish that like really quickly without any, build, just, yep, 3 years have passed by because that's the last time we saw Brian, and obviously everything caught up to him. So.
And so it's at least 3 years, because obviously at the very last episode of the Bay of the Beginning, he wasn't in prison yet. He was
Yep.
trying to get out of the country. And I'm kind of wondering if Steve helped him somehow get out of the country.
It was kind of implied, Steve kind of coming to his rescue when, he couldn't find his wallet and he was trying to just kind of get the heck out of Dodge, obviously, but now it looks as if, he's found himself in a kind of rough situation, and looks like Steve, though, isn't Steve's got a lot of other priorities going on right now.
He
He's got a
does.
fire
Like,
in the fire, not
yeah.
necessarily trying to get his son out of jail, more along the lines of just trying to do every underhanded seedy thing in Bay City.
You're absolutely right. And he's got a much bigger role in this series than he did in previous series.
Oh,
The
no,
previous.
he's definitely established. And then it's funny how you kind of have these characters that obviously transitioned over from Bay the Beginning.
Right.
And you have some who, I mean, no sign of, Igor, for instance, or some other characters have just kind of fallen by the wayside in favor of others. But it's all a seamless transition. The way that they went
Very.
about it, I thought, was great. In introducing these new folks, or folks that we got a little taste of at the end of Bay the Beginning, and now like they're like Orchid, for instance, is the
Yes.
one that comes to mind. But just seeing these characters kind of transition in or get folded in, it's all done so seamlessly and really eloquently in the first episode, I think.
I think so too. And you know what? It does establish a lot of the backstory. We see multiple flashbacks to things that happened during the Bay of the Beginning, and just tying it together. So theoretically, the Bay itself is a standalone series, and I think that's why they did the separation of the Bay of the Beginning to the Bay, because you do have that foundational building by the
Yes.
flashbacks in this in the first couple of episodes.
Yep. And they all serve a purpose, as does Pete's kind of narrative in the
Yes.
first episode too. And that even kind of sets up a new tone for the show too, because it adds in the whole layer of the grand or the great grandfather
Yes.
and the whole town kind of being cursed,
Right.
which I love that. I think that that's just a really great element that they twine in, because you don't hear about that, and obviously be at the beginning that whole tale isn't really part of it, but just establishing that, like, yeah, history, secrets, all these things, and a curse over this. It adds like this supernatural, just fun layer to things, which I
Yeah.
just it's really, really cool how they establish that in the, right off the,
Right off the bat, yeah. No, it's fantastic. And it's just, and they start with usually a definition or a quote as well on the screen, which is a nice twist.
Yep, I think, but I believe it was Rage.
Yeah, I think
First,
that was on episode two, Rage.
oh yeah, but either like just like the little,
Yeah.
or just it just sets up another tone. It just kind of
Yeah.
adds, which I appreciate.
So we do see more of Steve Jensen, just a main character right in your face. And we also see more of Nathan Perkins,
Yes.
the little weasel who was the journalist from the first one, who was at the very end of the season,
Yeah,
trying to get
comes into
information.
play in a big, just a big way. He crashes Steve's party,
Yeah.
just kind of immediately setting up, their kind of relationship where, Nathan is, it's like he's using his power for good now,
Yeah.
where before, like, he was very zeroed in on, like, targeting the Garretts and figuring out what Sarah's situation is. Obviously, he's kind of figured some stuff out involving Sarah,
Right.
because immediately he starts talking with Steve, just, so yeah, how did you get the blonde, blue-eyed sweetheart of the town to, considering you raped her, all of this, and just lays out that entire history. So
Yeah.
obviously he's kind of, delved into, he's done his homework on Sarah, and now he's trying to go after Steve. So it's almost as if he's using his little, like, needling sort of journalist tendencies for, trying to bring Steve
Right.
down. least get
I'm
information.
almost wondering, just looking at, Steve's party and the what's going on at the club
Yeah.
and lounge,
That
it
Club
definitely
Masquerade
something.
looks like a
Yeah.
interesting joint.
You see people swapping pills, people are making out everywhere.
And it's kind of funny that they establish, oh yeah, I opened this up with my wife. Meantime, he's swanning around with some random woman
Yeah.
who is clearly not his wife, just
Exactly. I'm almost wondering if Steve kind of took over the part of that doctor that was supposedly
yeah.
supplying drugs and prostitutes.
Kind of took over because I mean that doctor they alluded to him, but they never
Right.
actually showed him.
Right,
And
exactly.
or talked about him, but we never, we just knew that there was this doctor that had this whole kind of underground seedy thing going on. And it looks as if Steve has either taken up the helm or just was like, I mean, time has passed and Steve's a bad guy. We know this and is full of a lot of bad stuff. So I guess maybe this doctor and him could have, or he just kind of picked it up and ran with it. Either way, though, it's not great.
Right. Or that just, they not because they never showed him on the first season, they're like, okay, well, here's a twist and a kind of a take a left turn and let's make Steve that character. So, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, they're really
But
doubling down though on his being a
yes,
creep, you
they
know?
really are. But we see that after we see that Nathan gets kicked out of the club because he's asking too many questions.
Yep.
And then we see Liana's at the club. We know that Liana's had problems with substances in the past.
Yeah, poor girl.
And then she ends up confronting a guy that she's seeing. I think his name is Damien. And
Yes, Blackwell. Last name is, yeah, I think they call him Young Blackwell or Junior, but Damien's the first name, yeah.
about why he's making out with Matthew. Because
Matthew, who they established, I think his name's Matthew Johnson, and I believe they say that he's a nurse.
Yeah,
They
exactly.
establish all these kind of characters. We haven't seen either of these guys before.
No, we
And they
haven't.
set the tones with them right off the bat, too, just really seamlessly bringing them in a big way, too, because they're pretty
Yes.
prominent in that whole thing, but really seamless how they did that, which I thought was cool.
No, I like that. And so she's confronting him, she's asking him, and they're talking about how Damien says he wants to keep it open. He wants to keep it no strings or anything. And Leanna's like, "Well, I'm okay with open, but I didn't realize it was gonna be that open."
Yeah, she's a
I'm
little.
wondering if he was alluding to the fact that he's with men as well, or
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what she meant.
I think because he kind of hints at that. He's like, is it because, and then his line to her, something like, well, welcome to the 21st century or something like that. I mean, he's just clearly establishing, like, listen, it's fine for us to. But I did like, too, how he kind of throws her relationship with her ex, Pete,
Yes.
right back in her face. As soon as she starts kind of going in after him, he's immediately like, listen, I'm not your ex, I'm not Pete. And you can see that she gets kind of like guarded and is still sensitive to that whole situation.
Well, she's about to get a little bit more sensitive to it, considering Pete is in bed with her mother.
Yeah, that was, I mean, kicking off kind of, that whole, it's right after, like, we kind of get that narrative from
Yeah.
Pete. And then it just eases right into him and Janice just kind of, hooking up, heading back to his place and everything like that. And, she is obviously a little bit, schnockered, as is, but he does ask for, just clears and make sure everything is cool. You're a little tipsy. Is everything good? Like, they establish consent, which good. Yay. Good job, Pete. But yeah, they are just and that was not really, I mean, that did not carry over from the previous. I mean, we did not see any hint towards that at all until but they kick it off right with a bang, literally.
Oh,
So
yeah, seriously.
yeah.
So she's in bed with they're in bed, the phone rings, and it's Liana. Well, that actually gets into the second episode. So
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it's they kind of blend. I admit, I kind of watched them back to back, so
oh
they're a
yeah,
little. They do kind of just pick up right where the one leaves off. So
yeah.
it is all kind of flowed together pretty well, but yeah, she does take the call and immediately be quiet, be quiet, be quiet,
Yeah.
like. So.
So one other thing that couple other things happen in episode one. We see that we see Orchid outside after Nathan gets kicked out of the club, and Orchid's working with Nathan to try to get information on Steve.
Orchid is wheeling and dealing. Orchid
Weird.
is try. She is hustling here. She is determined to try and get out of this situation that she is in by a lot of different means, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But the first time we kind of see, wind of that is when she is talking with Nathan and, with the money exchange and everything like that. And that's like a really, considering they were both just kind of teased at, they've become pretty prominent in this
Yeah.
episode. Both those characters, and I just love the way that they do that and just establish Orchid as just like, yeah, listen, like, I'm not just the flirty little, there, I've got some stuff going here, and I need,
Yeah, she has a lot of
whatever
stuff
it
going
means.
on.
Yeah.
And speaking of Orchid, the mayor, Jack, is being questioned by his wife regarding his response to an actual orchid
Yeah.
flower sent to him.
An orchid, nice, pretty expensive plant, shows up on your husband's desk and he reacts kind of strangely to it. You're gonna be a little just like, what's going on? And
Yeah.
that's what she asks. She just wants to know what is why he reacted so strongly to it, which we didn't see happen, but we're made aware. And he is the furthest thing from cool about that whole situation. Just like immediately just deflects and does not want to talk. And Sophia picks up on that immediately, and she's like a dog with a bone. She's just like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, this
Yeah.
is, I mean, I love her in that scene. I mean,
So,
it's only like that brief kind of, but she's
yeah.
so good.
We see the flashback of when Jack and Sophia were talking when Jack left the house to go check on Sarah.
Yes.
I think that was the correct flashback.
It was the
But
scene
it,
when he's trying, because he wants to figure out the whole situation with Sarah and with
yeah.
Lee and what happened there.
But I'm almost wondering if they changed the context of it.
I think it was more just to establish the fact that, like, he's been keeping kind of
Secret.
secrets and things like that. I'm trying to remember if it's common knowledge at this point to Sophia that that Sarah is his daughter.
I think it must be because Pete in the narrative said that he talks about his grandfather.
Yeah, it
So
must have just kind of
maybe
happened.
unless Pete is narrating it from like a future time and he's
I
recounting
honestly,
it.
I'm gonna need to. I want to say you're right. I want to say that it's been established already. I just,
Just
it's
off
a big,
screen.
yeah, it's a big kind of thing. I mean, they obviously, like, touch on it in the finale, but they didn't, they didn't obviously, like, kind of. So they might just, like, lean into that just from the get-go. But regardless, it does show that he's, like, capable of keeping secrets when
Yeah.
he has to. But that Sophia is really good at zeroing in when he is keeping secrets and doesn't put up with it and isn't happy about it and is going to get to the bottom of it at some point. So she's
Yeah.
obviously going to kind of figure out this whole thing with Orchid at some point. She
Yeah.
is suspicious and, smart woman. She knows what's going on.
Exactly. Then, we see after Orchid and Nathan are talking outside and Nathan goes to leave and they separate, they go their separate ways. We see Zoe overhearing the conversation.
Yes. So listening in and spying. And then at the end, there's kind of a little parallel with that where you have Nathan kind of watching her
Yeah.
interactions. It's like they're spying on each other, and I like that parallel.
And they're, I mean, just they're kind of establishing the rivalry as journalists.
Yes.
So they each want to scoop each other, and
Yep.
they're setting that up very nicely
Oh,
early on.
definitely. Definitely. Just like, what do you have going on? What is your secret? And, wild times in Bay City, and they're all just trying to figure things out. And but I did like that tension there of them just kind of both, like, secretly spying on the other, trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. And then we do have one other kind of scene, one other situation in the first episode. We see Lex and Sarah walking out of the police department, and Lex asks the same question: why did you marry Steve? What is it with?
That is on everyone's mind. Everyone is just like, what's caused? And it's like everyone has kind of established that, it's established that he raped her because he served time for that. So
Yes.
That's kind of set in stone, and they're all just question, and she just gets that same kind of guarded, same as like when they kind of are talking, when she's talking at the top of the episode, with the doctor, just, like.
I'm wondering when they got married. Obviously, it happened off screen. It happened during the
Yeah.
time jump.
I can't remember exactly
Was it
when.
recent? I mean, because the way Lex is like, the way Lex talks about it is like he's shocked to find out that she married Steve. So it had to be semi-recent and
Right.
like some kind of an eloping or something.
Yeah, just kind of a last minute sort of, courthouse kind of whatever
Right.
situation. But yeah, no, it's 'cause definitely the way that everyone's kind of talking about it and discussing it. Yeah, it's kind of top of mind, which means it must have happened fairly recent. But obviously Lex knows that, she did not enter into this willingly, and she says as much, but she won't tell him the reason why. It would ruin me.
Yeah.
So,
And that's what it boils down to. We know it's blackmail.
yeah.
So again, everybody who's watching, thank you so much for watching. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified anytime something comes up on Suds and Squared Circle here on YouTube. Go ahead and follow us on Twix, on Instagram, on Facebook. Go ahead and go to our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. That has everything. Also, when we come back on Tuesday, the 16th of April, in terms of podcasting, if you listen on the podcast, Dockside of the Bay is going to have its own feed. So it'll be separate from Suds News, and you can search that. It has not been set up yet. It'll be set up within the next couple weeks, but definitely go ahead and I'll let you guys know on the 15th when or the 16th rather. To go ahead and follow that show, that feed on your favorite podcast platforms, because that'll be there. Okay, so while we're, we kind of went over episode one. Remember, there's still half hour episodes, and they pack a lot into it.
They really do. And even like the runtime, because I always check that, it's like, it averages like, you cut out like, the previews or the next up section. It's really like 19, 20 minutes. It's so short. I mean,
Very,
but
yes.
really, they cram in a lot. They really, set the tone so well, just even in that. And, considering, I mean, it's not a pilot, but it kind of is a pilot.
Right.
Just considering that, and considering how much, like, they had to kind of pack it. I mean, they do it so seamlessly. It's really impressive. And, it's quick. You don't get bogged down in a lot of, like I said, like exposition or anything like that. They just really just keep it moving, keep the action going, and draw you in. And then you're just like, okay, now it's time for more.
Yep. And they also have a new theme song, which
Yeah.
I really like. It kind of has a True Blood vibe to it. That's what gives the show.
Little bit. I thought that too. I thought that too when I first heard it. Yeah.
But the song is called Devils and Demons by
You
Jay
got
Price.
like Peach and her in that blue dress, and
Yeah.
then just showing all these characters. And it's characters that we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Vivian, but Vivian is there.
Right.
We haven't
We
seen
haven't seen
there are.
Daniel yet, and
Yep.
John there.
Daniel's there as well. I mean, we're seeing these faces that, we haven't been introduced to just yet, but we know they're just, obviously. We're in the opening credits. We're going to be seeing a lot more of them sooner rather than later. So,
Yeah, exactly. And so definitely check it out. I mean, if you're a fan of that kind of music, it just is a fantastic,
pretty catchy. Yeah.
very catchy beat.
I will say, just like, the soap opera kind of the in Bay the Beginning, I did like that theme a lot.
Yeah.
Not to say that I do, it's very, but I did like that, just
Very
kind of
soap,
old school.
traditional soapy.
Yeah.
I think this song here kind of gives it more of a different vibe. Like it's
I
a
do
web
too.
series. It's not your typical soap opera.
No, it does. It sets a different tone for it for sure. And it's really cool. And I enjoy it. But
I do too.
I do
I
have an
put it on
appreciation
my
for the
playlist,
other.
so But I've got the True Blood theme song on my playlist too, so that's just,
It's a good theme. Yeah.
All right, so we start with another therapy session. This time it's John Blackwell.
Yeah, and considering we have not seen this man ever,
Ever. Not even in Bay the Beginning.
he sets a dramatic tone for himself, which cracks me up. I'm sorry. Just, he is just, his dialogue and everything, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Igor. Just comes in just in like this very intense sort of, listen, I got
He's in more,
feelings about this person and
more
I'm gonna tell
controlled.
you.
He's much more controlled about it.
Oh, absolutely. No, very different characters, but just in terms of like coming in and being like, listen, I'm mad about this person. I'm not happy with them, and I'm going to do something about it. Like, just very setting the tone right away for that. It is
And I
dialogue.
like how he said that Sarah deserves to be trampled just like his father and Steve Jensen.
Like,
Like grouping them all together.
yeah, it's just he, high cotton position, impersonating a woman of class. Payback's a bitch, and I'm a bastard whose wrath they're gonna fear. Like, he is like spitting truths right away. You can tell this guy, and but we haven't seen him before, so it's just like, wow, dude, you are just coming on really strong.
And here's the kicker. He alludes to his father, right? We don't know, obviously we don't know him, so we don't know who his father is. So it's a question for the audience to say, wait a minute, why is this guy filled with so much rage? That's where the rage comes from.
Yes. Yes.
But why
Violent,
is this guy,
uncontrollable anger. Yeah.
yes, why
He's
is this
clear
guy
about that.
filled with so much? But that's the only part he's shown in the entire show, the episode. So it's almost like he was put there as just to establish a character, and then we don't see him at all.
Mean, the only hint that we get is that obviously he has, because I don't even, do we get it? Because Blackwell, they mentioned young Blackwell Jr., and this guy is a Blackwell. That's the only kind of like little tie that we get to him on campus aside from that opening thing. And obviously, he comes into play in a big way. He's prominently featured in the theme song and he sets a tone right off the bat. But I just, that introduction just slayed me when I like watching it again. I'm just like, we haven't seen you, man. What is your beef? What is,
Exactly.
what do you have against this woman? Because, devil in a blue dress, it's like, wow, okay, you are really just, how did she wrong you? What did she do?
So that just kind of set the tone for this season. In terms of now we have something to kind of look at and look for when he actually comes into the fold.
And it's so funny too, because you have it where in the previous episode you've got like, Nathan calling Sarah the blue-eyed, talk like everyone loves her, everyone like blue-eyed beauty of the town, and everyone just, how did you manage to like, win her? And then you have this opposite, like the total opposite attitude towards her from this guy, it's just, and then you also, but you do see it kind of in the episode mirrored with Sarah. In her scene with Janice, which we'll touch on, but you see, like, yeah, okay, Sarah's, she's not all like sweetness and light. Clearly.
Speaking of Janice, we then see Janice and Pete kind of still in bed, kind of picking up from where we left off in the last episode. Her phone is ringing. She tells Pete to be quiet. She goes to answer it, and it's Liana. And this is kind of what I was alluding to before, in that Liana calls her and they're talking, and she's kind of venting about the guy.
Yeah, and as soon as Janice, like, Liana just is calling her, just kind of wanting to just talk about guys with her mom. And you cut to Janice and Bet, and she just immediately like gets completely pained and looks like she's about to burst into tears. And it's such like a, oof, that moment just hit, because it's just like, she's just, as she's lying there in bed with her daughter's ex, daughter just wants to have a little girl talk with her. It was just such a good, sad little moment there.
And it kind of falls into question. This is kind of a paradox as an adult child, where you want to call your parents, or a single parent, whatever. You want to call your parents for to vent advice because you're going through something. How does the parent kind of react to that when they're in the middle of doing something adult as well? Like, that's kind of like the paradox there. And it's really good, and it's
And
something.
that Janice too is like a younger, she was a younger mom, obviously, like when she had Liana and that whole, so I mean they're closer in age, and that whole, it just kind of adds an
It's
extra
been, and
layer.
it's always been a contentious relationship. they flash back to the scene in the car from the very
Their
first
first
episode
scene
of.
together, the first time we ever see them, they're fighting. So, that is, their relationship. And, the last time we saw them was when, in the wake of Lee's death, when, and Janice, gets accuses her daughter of lying to her. And it's just a whole.
And she's hammered, and because she was at the bar and had to be taken home. Liana makes that comment, "Why can't you just be my mother?" Or something to that effect. So you could feel the pain. So Liana being at the party, which again, we flash back to the episode 10 where she's on the boat and Will comes in to kind of, save
All
her
those
and not.
kind of cautionary tales towards her, and just being like, you're gonna end up in like a tough place if you keep this up, it's gonna be in a place you don't want to be. And clearly she's in a place that she doesn't want to be right now.
But
I
is
mean,
she still kind of undercover for the cops? That's the one thing that we don't
so
know yet.
yeah. But she's like, you can tell she's just getting more submerged into this world. Even when that scene when Steve comes up to her, and is just trying to like, he calls her beautiful, he mentions Lee. It's this whole kind of, oof. Oh,
Yeah.
Matt, why do you play such a good creep? Because, oh my gosh, those things are downright disturbing.
Oh,
But
yeah. Matthew Ashford. A complete different character from what we see him normally on days.
I mean, unless you, well, we can go back to like vintage Jack, that.
I didn't watch that long ago, so I can't.
Yeah, no, we go, you go to eight, like Jack post realizing that Kayla is with Steve, and that is Jack's like bad arc. And then he gets redeemed and becomes the Jack that we know. Yeah, but it's like,
Jack and Kayla were together, so.
Jack, because Jack rapes Kayla.
Oh, good Lord. So in two universes, Matthew Ashford's character rapes Mary Beth Evans' character. That's crazy. That's a trivia question that I don't know.
And a character named Steve in the Bay too. It's just, there's a lot. There's some stuff that kind of seeps in a little bit here, which is a little bit odd. But yes, no, there is like, and yeah, no, Jack definitely has to go through this whole redemption arc on Days, which I can go on and on about. But yeah, it's just, but he, in this particular, even that scene where Liana's expression after he walks away, just that grimace on her face, it's just like, we all felt that. It's like, yep.
Just like that creepy.
Orchid too, his interactions with Orchid, same kind of deal. Liana just looks more just like disgusted. Orchid looks downright just, I need to get the hell away from this guy and
And
get
it establishes Steve as a pimp, basically. He's
basically,
running the prostitution ring. He's peddling drugs. He's over and overall not a nice guy. So again, it does beg the question, why Sarah married him? You know what I mean? Like it's similar to if you're a Back to the Future fan, if Biff had blackmailed, Lorraine into marrying him, that's what it boils down to, is that he's obsessed with this woman. He rapes her in the beginning and before the series, serves time and comes out and is like, oh well. Your husband's dead now, so I have this information about you, and you're gonna have to marry me.
just yeah, it's just his whole situation in this, it's just very, yeah, his Sarah obsession is very. But it's like, it's just, it's funny too, because it's just like, yeah, what, like I said previously, it's like, yeah, I open up this club with my wife, but I'm walking, strutting around with like clearly a woman who is just an escort. Like, it's like the obsession is, it's more, just for his own having control over a situation and possibly some, things to gain from being in this relationship that, clearly is not wanted by Sarah at all. So, and that's, yeah,
No, go
that's
ahead.
I'm gonna unravel soon, but
Oh,
it's just,
absolutely.
yeah.
So we see, speaking of Orchid, we kind of see her leaving a couple of voicemails for the mayor, and some
Getting
flashbacks.
increasingly going from flirty to downright, I need your help, and I'm going to figure out exactly how I'm going to like get the better of you so that I can get out of the situation that I'm in. Just increasingly desperate, and also just like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I need from you and get out of here.
Oh yeah, she's pulling a lot of strings trying to get out of that lifestyle. And she's not above blackmailing herself to somebody else in order to do that.
Yeah, she's like, what by whatever means, be it flirting, be it, just like threatening, be it just sending an orchid as a reminder, like, hey, like I can blackmail an elected official. I'm gonna do whatever it takes just to make sure that I can, because we do get that one scene that I really love with Orchid when she gets called Marissa by
Yes.
that Benji, that
And
policeman.
wasn't the last name Ramos?
I believe so. Yeah.
So is there any relation there with Janice and Liana?
I'm thinking there's some tie. I couldn't remember exact, but yeah, I
Yeah,
think
because we also know that I'm sorry, Janice's brother, Manny, is
Manny.
with Marley.
Right. Who
So
we didn't see Marley, by
we
the
didn't
way.
no, we haven't seen them yet in the bay. So
Right.
in the or the actual series.
Yeah, no,
So
she hasn't made appearance yet. But yeah, I mean, in that moment though, with like, she obviously, her real name is said, and don't call me that. Like, she is just clearly trying to like distance herself from that. Also just trying to like, navigate her situation the best that she can. But Terry Ivins, man, I forget how much I loved her on All My Children, and she's so good in this. She is really, really good in the Bay. Like, I just, I think she's so talented because that whole moment, she just becomes so more vulnerable than we've seen her yet.
Yes.
Just, getting confronted with like her real name and don't call me that. And like, you can tell that like she's got some vulnerabilities there, and she's just trying her best to get out of this really precarious place that she is in right now.
Exactly. So we do see, we talked about Steve confronting Orchid about meeting with Nathan and the exchange of money. That's why Orchid kind of comes up with the cover story saying he's a
Yeah.
crook.
Yeah. Good cover story. And
Right?
her saying, I'm your number one girl for a reason. Basically, showing that she has gotten as close to that whole situation with Steve as she wants to get, rose in the ranks enough to like gain trust, but at the same time is like, wheeling and dealing, trying to get away from them. So
Absolutely.
she's got a
Although,
lot going on.
yeah, I mean, although if the guy saw the exchange of money, she was giving Nathan money instead of the other way around.
Yeah,
So
kind of. Yeah,
that kind of paints a
a little
little
sloppy,
bit of a picture.
a little sloppy,
A
but
little bit, yeah.
gotta get attention somehow.
So we see kind of while Janice and is on the phone with Liana. She's having regrets because she's getting teary-eyed. She's like, "What am I doing?" Saying, I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping with my daughter's ex, and this and that." And then, they start to make out again because he kind of puts her at ease and says, "Listen, I don't think of it as a hookup. I really like you. I think you're beautiful. Nobody would ever think that I'm half your age."
Quite a contrast to the last time we saw him in bed with an older woman,
Yeah,
with the whole
exactly.
tied up
Oh,
situation,
I had
and
forgot about that, but yeah, you're right.
quite a contrast from that. But this time, he's just trying to handle it the best he can, and he's being like as support. He genuinely is attracted to her, and he likes her, and he doesn't really care that there's all the baggage with his mom and obviously Liana. What does he say? Like, we were Liana and I were kids. We
Kids,
weren't
yeah.
that
And
long
it kind of does show that because
ago.
again, there is a th at least of a 3 year
Yeah,
gap.
well, there
In
is.
theory, so it
And he
does
does have a
show.
different haircut, so therefore, yes, he's no longer a kid.
Right, but I mean, it does. Back when he was tied up in the hotel room, he
Oh,
was
yeah.
very vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of shows that he didn't know what was going on, and he
Yeah.
was still in that juvenile mindset after the overdose. So
Right.
now, fast forward, he's a lot more mature,
Absolutely. Yeah.
and he's, I don't want to use the word aggressor, but he's kind of the dominant in this situation.
Pursuing her. He is
Pursuing her, yeah.
definitely interested in her. And just very like, just like, listen, like it doesn't matter to me. I genuinely am attracted to you. It shouldn't be a thing because Liana and I were kids. He is, handling it very maturely, But then you get Sarah coming in, and he kind of reverts back to t like you
Rebellious
tell me
teenager.
what to do. Get out of my gatehouse. And then Sarah's, this is my house. Like, she's just not like, she's like, no, like, what are you thinking? I'm your mother. But like, which I love.
Exactly.
But yeah, he does kind of, as soon as Sarah catches him in the act, and I think that's what the episode is called, Caught in the Act,
Yeah.
catching it, something like that. Yeah, he kind of, but that's, you know, to be, it's like you get caught by your mom when you're, yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. I can honestly that say that's never happened to me, so I don't have to.
honestly, that's never happened to me, but yeah.
So we go back to the party now, and Liana is feeling a little threatened by what's going on between Damien and Matt.
Yeah.
So, you know, she kind of after getting confronted by Steve and him saying, you know, you gotta remember you don't shit where you eat.
Right.
Which I can't really, is it that she's pursuing Damien and you know they're in a relationship, but yet she's trying to work him at the same time?
I think that's kind of what he's getting at. Like, kind of like, listen, you know, you're kind of here. This is more like, you know, you're, you know, like kind of keep
Yeah.
separate, you know, business
Lives,
and
yeah.
pleasure separate. Maybe that's what he's getting at.
And you know it's it, you know we see that Matt and Damien are swapping pills, and
Yeah.
you know with the other girls that are there and the other guy that's there.
Liana probably, I love when she just goes up to the woman in between the two of them. Oh, you get out of here. You get out of here. Just picks her, you know, takes
Yeah.
her by the hand, basically casts her aside, and she just plants herself between the two guys. And she's like, okay, boys, I'm here
Yeah.
now.
So, you know, so Leon is like, okay, well, give me some, you know, why are you giving it to him? And Matt refuses, and
Yeah,
he's like,
but then you have Damien who's just pushing, and he's just like, let her have a pill. What's the big deal? And you can tell that Matt is a nurse too. So that kind of established,
so
you
he
know.
must have been there when she got clean. So when she went to, you know,
Yeah. Because it's established they have a history, they have a relationship, and you know, he knows her situation and what she's kind of been through because, you know, he's very hesitant, but give me the goddamn pill. She doesn't care.
And you know it's and Matt's like Matt pulls her aside and is like, I make money, this is how I make extra money, you know, whether it's peddling pills or whatever the case is,
Yeah.
you know, so he makes extra money, but he also has that mindset as a nurse, like I saw what you went through when
Right.
you were addicted, you're a year sober or whatever it is.
Yeah, you shouldn't be
Exactly.
in any of this, but Liana is not in a position to care at that point. And, you know, but when they cut to Damien mid having a horrible reaction to
Yes.
whatever it is, that he's just, you know, mid OD. It's like, yeah, well, you probably should have listened to Matt
And
there.
then while he's mid OD, the cops raid the
Yeah.
club.
Quite you know, and then they cut to Steve and he's getting, you know, carted off. It's like, well, okay, everything has just kind of come crashing in around that whole
And
situation.
then again, you see Will looking at Liana the same
Yes.
way, like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yep, that whole exchange of looks back and forth, and she just looks panicked in that point, but for obvious reasons, you know,
Yeah.
just completely just deer in the headlights and just like, oh my God.
Exactly. I like so we did have, you know, a couple of scenes with Sophia and Jack again, and you know, we the I like the juxtaposition of the flashback with Jack, you know, remembering when Sophia says, if you walk out that door, you don't bother coming back.
Yeah.
And then right after that, he's having a flashback of him and Orchid, you know, getting ready to make out and
Yeah, get a
making
little
out.
frisky. Yeah.
And then again, we kind of see another flashback, but this time from Orchid's side about that same time when they're making out. And then she gets in, she goes to his office and is like, listen, I'm, you
And she
know,
just lays it all out there for him. She's just like, listen, I'm not out of my life, and you are going to help me do it
exactly.
by any means necessary. Like, she is not, you know, and she's kind of flirty, but she's also just like, yeah, no, I'm not playing games with you right now. Like, you're going to
Right.
help me out of this because I can definitely use everything that's going on around us right now against you. Like,
Yes.
I will find a way to bring you down if you do not help me. So,
Exactly.
which.
And then after that, you know, Sarah's still confronting Pete and Janice in his room. Sarah calls Janice a drunken whore.
Yeah.
And she says that you would not make Lee proud, or you would make Lee disappointed, or something to that effect.
It's funny because it's like when Sarah first comes in the room, obviously, like, you know, she's like, you know, like screaming at Pete and get all, you know. And Janice is very just like, listen, I made a mistake. I screwed up. I'm gonna walk out in here. I forget this ever. And then Sarah's the one who really starts the name calling up. Sarah's the one who kind of launches in, prompting Janice to start like, you know, it's like she escalates it. Janice was all set to walk out the door, but then, and you know, Pete was all set to drive her home, which was, but then Sarah's like objecting to that, protective of her kid, and just starts launching in.
But you
So,
have to put, yeah, and you have to put
yeah.
yourself in Sarah's shoes.
Oh,
Now the
absolutely.
second man that Janice has taken from her,
Yeah.
theoretically.
Yeah. No, I mean, their history, you know, and it's kind of interesting. I almost wish that, like, we could, like, you know, them flashbacks of them younger would be interesting just to kind of see the whole dynamic, because it's established that they've got, you know, like they keep on cutting back to, like, you know, Liana saying, like, you've lived in Sarah's shadow your whole life, you know, and things like that. It would be interesting to kind of have seen more flickers of their past, because clearly they've got some stuff.
And
But
Janice is always that dirty little secret.
yeah.
So Lee, it's kind of established that Lee cheated on Sarah with Janice.
Yeah.
And
But
then
yeah, like Lee, you know, when Lee gets thrown, that's when Janice really starts kind of launching into calling Sarah, like, you know, you're just a slut, you're just a blah, blah, blah. And just like that's when she really, that's like her tipping point, when she just
And
letting
then
in.
he kind of gets her out of the house and,
Yeah.
he's going to take her
Pete's
home.
also, yeah. And Pete's all like, you know, what are you doing in my gatehouse? And Sarah's like,
Yeah,
no, this is my house. But
exactly.
poor Sarah gets just kind of, you know, again, blindsided in her own house by, you know, it's happening a lot for her. So.
It really is. And then, then it goes back to the party, and that's when we see Damon is overdosing and the cops raid the club, and that's the end of the episode number two.
Yeah. And it's quite a note to end it on, you know, just kind of like, you know, fade to black, big, you know, crazy shakeout at this. And it's only the second episode. It's like, wow, you got through a
They just
lot.
pack a lot. They pack a lot. The time goes by very quickly,
Absolutely.
and it's just a breath of fresh air in terms of watching this show compared to the other soaps. And again, they can get away with more because it is web. It's streaming. It's not on linear cable or network
So
TV.
Pete, you know, with Days on Peacock, I did kind of think that they would try and like break, you know, break out a little bit and kind of get a little
I
bit
think
more.
they. Here's my theory on that. When Prospect Park did the reboot of All My Children and One Life to Live,
I remember that well.
I enjoyed it because I thought it was a lot different. And I think the problem is a lot of their established fan base that did move over got upset because they were swearing on the show.
There
And
was a
swearing
little
just
bit.
because they could, whereas I think the difference is because Days is an established brand, they didn't want to alienate a lot of their established fans and do the same thing.
Yeah.
They could have gone edgier and kind of had that, okay, well now this story calls for it. So, or this like for example, what's going on with Constantine and John,
Yeah.
and the way that John is like really adamant, I'm going to turn myself in to the Greek authorities because that I fucking killed somebody, an innocent, you know what I mean? It could have called
Yeah.
for it, but they
Yeah.
haven't broached that episode, that idea.
There was speculation during, it was an arc that took place last year when they presumed that Marlena and Kate and Kayla had all died. When
That's when I
Steve was
really started
befriending
watching it.
Orpheus, I do remember people were speculating that he had actually dropped the F-bomb when he was talking to Orpheus.
Don't
But
remember that.
people speculated, people were, soap Twitter was kind of all over that for about a day. I personally don't think it happened, but some people are convinced that he actually said it under his breath. I don't know if it actually happened. But
Could have been.
if anyone was going to be in a position to, like, you know, drop the first F-bomb on Days, I could see it being Steve. But you
But you
know,
know
just
what?
in general, though, like, you know, like this, I didn't see the show, like, you know, getting like super, but just kind of like pushing the boundaries a little bit more in just terms of, like, you know, because they have the ability to, you know, with
Well,
streaming,
they
you're in.
had the threesome.
Yeah,
They had the threesome
that's true. Yeah.
with, with Chanel and Allie and Alex.
Yeah, just a little more freedom to play, because you're right about Prospect Park. They did have that kind of freedom to play a little bit, but Prospect Park was also before its time.
Way before its time, and they did it with an established brand.
Yeah.
With the Bay, it's something brand new. They started out on the web, they started out in streaming, so what sort of I'm thinking of? It was there already, so it's
Yeah.
like they didn't have to
Yeah. No,
worry.
they laid the groundwork for it essentially by setting up the way that they did. It wasn't like they were trying to take something and place it someplace else and expect the audience to still. No, I totally get what you're saying.
So it's like, it's a brand new audience, it's a brand new show, it's a brand new,
Yeah.
they laid the groundwork that, okay, well, this is going to be edgy. This is going to, have, it doesn't have to worry about language barriers or whatever, language boundaries. It's the same thing, and I'm anxious to see it. There's such a different audience level and idealism. This is where the differences between soap operas and wrestling come into play. WWE is moving Monday Night Raw to Netflix starting in January.
Oh, that makes
So, it's for at least 5 years. They could double it to 10, but either way, the Raw is moving to Netflix in January of 2025. A lot of people are like, okay, well, this is going to take a lot of the handcuffs off where you can't do a lot of stuff on cable TV. It could go to a TV 14, it could go to a TV MA. We saw this past week on Monday Night Raw where the ending scene was Cody Rhodes getting bloodied by The Rock, and The Rock is, getting bleeped and this and that. Going back to an edgier product, whereas like the late 90s, what we passionately call the Attitude Era, it was just a lot of sexual innuendos, and they pushed the envelope to the point of the bursting where it was TV 14. Then they had to pull it back because it became a publicly traded company, and they couldn't do a lot. They wanted to keep it family friendly, a TV PG. But
Yeah.
this now puts the WWE in a very different area. Whereas SmackDown is moving from Fox to USA in October. So, Fox didn't want to renew SmackDown because they didn't get the return on investment they felt, even though they were the highest rated show. There was not the NFL, of course, but still very highly rated and everything. So SmackDown is moving back to USA in October. Well, now you're having Raw move from USA to Netflix in January. So you're going to have one show that's going to have to maintain the PG type of show.
Yeah.
Go to Raw. Now it's on streaming. Now they have the handcuffs off.
Yeah.
Could be edgier. And the fans want it to be edgier. But if you still want the family friendly product, they have it. So there is a different dynamic there between
Yeah.
wrestling and soap operas. Whereas with the reboot of All My Children and the reboot of One Life to Live, it didn't go over very well. And
Yeah.
A's moving
You
over.
know, it's funny you had mentioned how you said it with WWE and like the 90s, they were really kind of pushing the envelope, but then it kind of reminds me of how like late 80s, 90s and soaps, it was not a free for all, but it felt like they were definitely more just in terms of being able to get more creative, more progressive with some of the stories that they were trying to tell, and they had bigger budgets and they could just do more, be more. Now I feel like they've really, they've dialed that back, especially for network and things like that. You don't see that nearly as much now as you did in that kind of run, in that kind of era. Right? So just kind of interesting how it all plays out. But
All right. Well, so this has kind of been our longest episode yet. Of
I think
course, we're
so.
going
But
to
hey, we had two episodes to talk about and we're not on next week. So, this is making up,
Exactly.
I suppose.
That's true. And again, folks, remember we're not on next week. Take get to take a week off of us. But I will be posting a lot of YouTube shorts, more likely from from being everywhere in. I'm going to be going to an ECW arena indie show at WrestleCon on Thursday night. SmackDown in the Hall of Fame on Friday night. Saturday, I'll be going to NXT at the Wells Fargo. NXT Stand and Deliver, and then WrestleMania Night One, plus a pre-WrestleMania tailgate party because I did the on location VIP priority package. So that's part of it. So I get that on Saturday and Sunday, and then WrestleMania Night One and Night Two, Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday Night Raw on Monday. So I'll be going to a lot. I'll be posting a lot on Instagram, on Twix, on YouTube, on Facebook. So stay tuned for everything that I will be posting. And feel free, you guys, with anything going on in soaps, definitely I'll be keeping track. Feel free to tag Suds and Squared Circle in anything that you do, you find out or anything, while I'm gone. But again, stay tuned to hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. We are in the Final Four, and then the finals will be starting this Friday as well. So definitely keep up with that.
Yeah. Pulling for.
But anyways, we're about out of time for this, and Kim, it's been great. We're going to keep on, you get a week vacation, and
Yes.
we'll be back on April 16th.
Sounds like a plan. Looking forward to it.
All right. So for Kim, I'm Vinny. We'll see you in 2 weeks, dockside at the bay. Have a great night, everybody. Live stream stopped and recording.